This is about an old-fashioned German wake on an Iowa farm through the eyes of an 8-year-old granddaughter. It was 1942. Spring, according to the calendar, the cold drizzle made the air wet everywhere. Around 2 p.m., a burly man, a big man who worked for Mr. Moeller in town, carried in two torchier lamps with wide pink glass shades shaped like lily petals opening. He placed one on each side of the parlor, plugged them into the wall socket. "Too much light," he grumbled as he pulled down the shades. "Good," he nodded to himself as the whole room looked newly painted in soft pink. "Have to make room," he said aloud all by himself. He pushed the player piano over behind the couch, and my mom, with a broom, captured the dust kitties that had lived there for years. About 3:30, right after the little orphan Annie, four men brought Grandpa home, dressed in the same pink suit he'd worn for his and Grandma's wedding anniversary. Grandma loved pink and made him wear it somewhere. He never argued, maybe because he was colorblind. Mom says the handles on that casket were real silver, not German. Mr. Kramer's panel truck pulled up in front about 4:30, and he and his son Jerome, he was in my room at school, carried in tall pink baskets filled with pink flowers. At 5:30, Father Rolfus came to say grace and join us for blood sausage sandwiches and some orange pop. The neighbor ladies, Mrs. Schultz and Mrs. Ludwig, walked through the door about 6:15, trays of ham and potato salad. Mrs. Schrader was from Lamar's. She brought sauerkraut cakes. Now, sauerkraut cake is a chocolate cake. And four trays of strudel she stood up all night baking. The ladies wore the same pink aprons they wore at Grandma and Grandpa's party held at St. Catherine's last fall. I watched as the people came through the front door where my daddy shook hands with everyone, took their coats, told everyone to have something to eat after they saw Grandpa. Grandma was sitting next to Grandpa in her favorite chair, the soft pink one that shaped her small body. Her hair, like some of the ladies, was a pink roux rinse. She wore a pink dress that she wore at their anniversary party. Even the same pink necklace and pink earrings. And I saw her pink rosary beads roam through her fingers as she nodded her head as people touched her hands. Around 7 p.m., Father Rolfus wipes his lips from his third piece of that sauerkraut cake and asks us all to kneel for the rosary. My mom knelt next to Grandma and held her hand. The smell of fresh coffee filled the parlor again. And at 7:45, Mrs. Schrader and Mrs. Ludwig brought out the trays of ham sandwiches and the new potato salad. Potato salad had ran out. More potatoes were boiling on the stove. Around 9, most of the people were still there, especially the older ones. Grandpa's friends from the Grange and the Knights of Columbus, where he played pinochle with his buddies. My daddy said that men could play cards in the kitchen because Grandpa would know they were there with him. And Grandma had nodded off and was snoring. And my Aunt Dorothy nudged her awake, but she fell asleep again. Father Rolfus had powdered sugar all over his suit from the strudel. He dusted himself off and took a napkin to his lips and announced he would give the last rosary. My Aunt Marcy and Aunt Rose and Aunt Dorothy all kneeled beside Grandma, touching her knee, but she was fast asleep and snoring louder than before. By now it's 11 o'clock. Neighbor ladies are putting the leftover food in the icebox. All the card players had gone home. Father Rolfus took the last of the sauerkraut cake back to the parish for his housekeeper. For his housekeeper, he said. Mom turned out the lights except for one of the torchiers that was in case Grandma, who slept in her chair, woke and had to go to the bathroom. She knew she would. The room was soft pink, almost like my grandma's beads, and they had slipped to the floor from her hand.